All right, good. I like it when we bring Bibles. Isaiah chapter 40. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, to the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. I've been teaching a series of messages these past few weeks that I called Writing Your Name on God's Promises. Write Your Name on God's Promises. And I got the... I got it from an old H.H. Booth hymn. H.H. Booth, the son of William and Catherine Booth, who was quite a hymnist and wrote dozens of hymns, one of which had these words in it: "All the rivers of your grace I claim, upon every promise write my name." Amen. Write my name on every promise. That was in the hymn, Write Your Name on Every Promise. So we've been talking about that these past few weeks. Write your name on the promises of God. Here's one I'd like for us to write our name on today. I believe it's important that we do. It's in Isaiah 40 and beginning in verse 28, where through the prophet Isaiah, God speaks and says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." That is, you can't measure God's wisdom, right? Verse 29, "He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, we need strength.
Amen.
We need strength. And here's a promise for you to write your name on. You know, you write your name on something that belongs to you, right?
Amen.
I know when we went off to school, our name was written on our jackets, lunch bag, lunch box. Maybe if you work in a workplace where people share a refrigerator, you write your name on your lunch before you put it in there. I still write my name on my ice chest because it's just a habit I got from fishing with people who will take your ice chest home and then forget they got it, you know. So I write my name. It's emblazoned across my ice chest. And I still do that, just out of habit. But the Bible even says God writes his name. You know, he talked in Deuteronomy about, he told the people of Israel, "I'm going to lead you to the place where I will write my name." And later in 2 Kings, he tells them, "You're going to worship in the place where I write my name." Jerusalem is the only city on earth that God wrote his name on.
Amen.
And that temple, the tabernacle and then the temple, was the place where his name was written. And that's where he told them they would gather. That's where they would worship. He wrote his name right there. He wrote his name on you.
Amen. You
are his. You belong to him. What you write your name on is yours.
Amen.
And that hymn that says, "On every promise, write my name." You know, we really need to write our name on the promises of God, make it ours. Even old Spurgeon, the old English preacher, said, "To take a general promise and make it yours by personal faith is the highest form of wisdom." How about we exercise some godly wisdom and write our name on the promises of God? We've shared about this over the past few weeks, writing our name on Psalms 91. That we need not fear. We need not be terrified. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. You read Psalms 91. You read it to yourself. You read it out loud. You read it to the devil.
Amen.
And you confess, that I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, or the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You confess it. You claim it. You write your name on it.
Amen.
We need not be terrified with the rest of the world. The rest of the world is in a panic right now. The rest of America is in a panic. But should we panic? No, not at all. Because we serve the Almighty God, and we write our name on the promise. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Thank you, thank you.
For you've made who? The Lord, who is the Most High, even your refuge. Look, let's write our name on these promises. We talked about the promise of healing. God promises to heal, not just to fill up space in the Bible, but for us to lay hold of these promises. I believe we should believe.
Amen.
And when he says the prayer of faith will heal the sick and the Lord will raise him up, we ought to believe it. We ought to believe that he said, you and your house will be saved. We should believe that. And all the promises that we've been going through over the past 6 or 8 weeks, the promise of divine provision, that God would provide all of our needs. And that according to his riches in glory.
Amen.
By Christ Jesus. The promise of peace. He said, I'll give you peace. He said, I'll give you my own peace.
Right.
In the midst of a world, this world of turmoil and unrest, he said, I'll give you peace.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
We need to write our name right there.
Right.
And we even talked about some of the promises we really don't want to write our name on. You know, like all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's a promise too. Today, we're going to look at this promise of divine strength. Strength. He says, he gives power to the faint, verse 29, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. They that wait upon the Lord, verse 31, shall renew their strength. You get a brand new supply. Whew, the promise of strength. That is strength for the journey of life. And we need his strength. Strength to do his will. Strength to do his will. Because let me tell you, everything fights against you submitting to the will of God. There's so much pull from the world, and the flesh wants to drag you in one direction, and friends want to drag you in another, and we need strength just to submit ourselves to the will of God and the way of God. We need strength and stamina to endure the trials of life. Whatever it is you're going through, we need God's strength to get us through it.
Amen.
We need his strength because your strength is insufficient. Your strength is inadequate. You need strength when you're weary, and strength when you're weak, and strength when you come to the end of yourselves. We need strength to overcome the temptations that pull at us from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and our own strength fails to measure up. Thankfully, we don't have to depend on our own strength. He gives strength. He says, power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increases strength. That's a big Hebrew word there. He multiplies strength. He makes great our strength. In fact, it carries, according to Brown, Driver, and Briggs, it means to increase exceedingly. He exceedingly increases our strength. We need strength just to overcome the discouragements of life.
Amen. That's right.
That, you know, your mind can get you so discouraged in so many ways. You look around at what you see.
You're right.
We need strength just to live victoriously in this world that pulls at our pants legs all the time. In chapter 41, look at this verse over here in verse 10. Same book. Just 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We sing that sometimes.
Yes.
Fear thou not. Don't be afraid. Do not fear, because I'm right here. That's what he says. Verse 10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid. I am right here. I am right here with you. You're never alone in this walk. Praise God. You're never on your own. You'll never be abandoned. You'll never be forsaken. You never have to figure out things in your own might and wisdom and strength. He says, I am with you. And be not dismayed. That word means to be anxious. It comes from focusing on your situation or your circumstances, you know, seeing what's going on all around you, rather than seeing the God who has given exceeding great and precious promises. Be not dismayed. You're looking at the wrong thing, Peter. Get your eyes off the waves and the seas and the wind, and get your eyes back on the Lord who has called you to walk on the water. Right? Sometimes you can be dismayed when you look at your circumstances because they seem impossible. Remember the spies that came back after spying out the land of promise? And 10 of them came back. The Bible says they had an evil report. What did they say? They got giants there. The sons of Anak are there. They've got big walled cities. They have weapons of iron and bronze. And they are mightier than us. And there's no way we can overcome them. And old Caleb and Joshua, they were ready to go get them in the power of the Lord. It's so easy to look at your circumstances and think it's impossible and think there's no way. You know, Israel backs against the Red Sea, Pharaoh's mighty army rushing upon them. When things look impossible, God can open the Red Sea.
Amen.
When things look impossible, how are we going to march into this promised land and take a land inhabited by these gigantic fortress-like cities? Jericho. How can we possibly take a Jericho? You trust the Lord.
Amen.
He'll bring the walls down.
Thank you, Lord.
He says, fear thou not, for I am right here with you. I'm right here with you. And then he says, verse 10, don't be dismayed, for I am thy God, I will strengthen you. You know, when the Lord said he's right here with you, I don't know why it came to my mind, but I thought about how sometimes a person will come, they know you're going through a problem, they know things are going on in your life, and they'll come just to maybe give you a shoulder to cry on. God gives you more than a shoulder to cry on.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he says, verse 10, I will strengthen you, I will help you.
Thank you,
more than a shoulder to cry on. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. This is more than a shoulder to cry on. He says, for I am thy God. Remember? Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am your God. How difficult is your situation right now? How mountainous might your problems be? Well, if your circumstances were as high as the mountains, if your problems were as high as the mountains, then God's grace is like the floodwaters in Noah's day. His grace will cover the mountains by 20 cubits, give you the grace you need to overcome in every trial, every circumstance, every situation.
Amen.
How can we be afraid when this God is with us? I am thy God. What an impact those words should have on us. This is the one who is with us. I mean, this is the God who is the creator and sustainer of all things. Verse 28, I'm going to back you up to chapter 40. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the everlasting, this is the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. There's nothing that you see or know. All things he created. This is the creator and sustainer of all things. This God, he does not faint, neither does he get weary. And there's no limit to his understanding. You know, sometimes you feel like nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody understands, really. Like my granddaughter says, weary, Papa, weary. Really, God doesn't understand? Really? He doesn't understand what you're going through? The same God who called fire and brimstone down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the God you serve.
Amen.
The God who opened the Red Sea. The God who sent plagues upon Egypt. The God who provided a pillar and a cloud for the people of Israel. Who fed them manna every day. They never lacked a single day. Who gave them water to drink every single day. They never lacked. The God who sustained them and kept them healthy and strong and vigorous throughout that 40-year wilderness journey. Who provided clothing and shelter. That's the God we serve. The God who strengthened Joshua to pull down Jericho and chase out the Canaanites. And chapter 41:10 says, this God is our God. I am thy God. And listen to his promise. Chapter 41:10, I am with you. I will strengthen you. There's no maybe here. There's no question mark here. I will strengthen you. And even more than that, I will help you. I will help you, God promises. And it's not just that he can help, but that he will help. I will help you. And more than that, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. The right hand is always in the Bible indicative of strength, because most people are right-handed, and it just speaks of that's where your strength is. God says, I'm going to uphold you with my right hand. And it doesn't depend on your righteousness, but the right hand of my righteousness. Uphold you. It means I'll hold you up. I will sustain you. I will keep you. Aren't you glad you don't have to depend on your own strength? I pray today that the Lord will enable us to see the size and the scope of this promise of divine strength, because it's much bigger, it's much greater than a casual reading allows us to take in. It's actually immeasurable. I will strengthen you. I am your God. I am with you. I will help you. That's a lot of promises right there. And can I tell you something else when it comes to these promises of God? And this is very important. It's as simple as I can make it, but I want you to get this. God can cash this check. This check won't bounce.
Thank you, Lord.
You know what a check is? It's basically a promise. Yeah, I promise you, Mr. Rusty, there's money to cover the rent this month. Yeah, just take this check. You ever get a bad check?
Yep.
You thought you had something, didn't you? You was counting your money, figuring what you was going to do with it, how you were going to spend it. You had it all figured out. You held it, looked good, your name right there. It's a promise. That's what a check is. It's a promise.
Right.
But sometimes you find out you don't have nothing in your hand right there. That check's is worthless. Has no value whatsoever. When you try to use it, you find out it's nothing, an empty promise. Last week, I had to bring one of those checks to the bank. Because I learned a while back that you can't just deposit them, because then they, you know what happens, they bounce and then, anyway. So I had a check from one of the tenants, I brought it to the bank, and I always bring it to the teller, say, can I cash this check? We'll let you know. Nope. Can't cash it. No money in there. So next time I'm at the bank, I bring it in. Can I cash this check? Nope. But you know what I did? This time I went on the first of the month. And I said, they got any money in this account? Because I need to cash this check. I mean, I've been carrying it around for 2 months. It's time that this check got cleared, you know. Yes, there's money in the account today. Cash it. Here's what the Bible says about God's promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Listen to this. For all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. All his promises are yes. Can you cash this check? Oh, yeah. He doesn't write bad checks. And he doesn't give empty promises. In fact, every promise of God is yes and amen. Every promise of God is yes and amen. His checks don't bounce. You can count on it. You can depend on it. All the resources of heaven are behind the word of God, the promises of God. I know that sometimes people don't intentionally write bad checks. In fact, this particular person, I don't think it was intentional. I think they might have had money in there the minute they wrote it. Or maybe they planned on having money in there. But you know, things happen in people's lives. Happens in your life. Happens in mine. I mean, I've written bad checks. Not intentionally. But I thought I had money. Sometimes, I mean, I forgot. I spent some of that money. Especially if you use a debit card. You know, you don't always remember to take it out. And, oh boy. Then you find out, you know, that check that was supposed to be so good wasn't so good, was it? I mean, my intention wasn't bad. Sometimes things happen. Unexpected events, miscalculation. You know, we're just human. Amen. But you know, God, his promises never fail. Isaiah 40, he says, he fainteth not, he doesn't get weak, he doesn't get weary, he doesn't forget.
Thank you, Lord.
He doesn't say, I should have put some money in your account to cover that. You know, nope. He doesn't forget. He fainteth not, neither is weary. It's this everlasting God, the one true God, the Creator God, the one who created all things. This, you know, that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, according to John 1. The Lord created all things. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created, whatever they are, things that are in heaven, things that are on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were made by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He holds the whole world together. This is the God who made the promise that you will have the strength you need. He tells us that he never is fatigued, and there's no ending of his understanding. His wisdom cannot be measured. It has no limits. This God will strengthen you.
Amen.
Verse 29, I'm back in chapter 40, verse 29. He gives power to the faint. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. I don't think sometimes we estimate the promises in the way that we should. I think sometimes also we overestimate our own ability and our own wisdom and our own strength. And when he speaks here in these verses, verse 29, power to the faint, you know, the weary, the fatigued, to them that have no might, he increases their strength, multiplies their strength. Our strength, he knows our strength is inadequate. And there's something else he knows about our strength. No matter how strong you are, no matter how virile you are, your strength has limitations.
Amen.
And it quickly runs out. And he makes that very point in chapter 40 and verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The youth, you know, when you're young and vigorous and so full of yourself, and you think that you have the power to do anything, move mountains, you have such confidence when you're young. And maybe a whole lot of really ignorance, you know, because you always think you can do things that you really should. Oh, yeah. Wait. Jump from this cliff to that cliff. Oh, yeah, I can do that. I totally got that. Walk this little narrow plank, you know, over this high. Yeah, I can do that. But even the youth, with all of their strength and their vitality, youth, it has its limitations. And he says it will utterly fall. That the idea here is that you weaken and you eventually perish. In fact, that's the very picture of this passage, that no matter how strong you are today, tomorrow is another day. And 10 years from now, and 20 years from now. How many of you remember the old Charles Atlas commercials? There's a few hands. Hey, there's a few. Well, let me tell you who Charles Atlas was. Charles Atlas was the very first American muscle man. The very first really powerfully built, you know, today's, well, I guess today they got other guys, but you're familiar with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, you know, the Rocky Strong guys and Hulk Hogan, all those big guys. Well, even they are showing their age now. Oh, yeah, definitely. But back when I was a kid and read comic books, every single issue had a comic book page, a cartoon, advertising Charles Atlas and his method of dynamic muscle building strength. You could probably still find these today online, these cartoons. And it was all about this little skinny guy on the beach with his girlfriend, and some bully kicked sand in his face, and the little skinny guy says, "Hey, you know, you're kicking sand on him." And a big guy grabs him and he says, "I'd clobber you, except you're not worth the trouble, you know." And so his girlfriend says, "Oh, I thought you were a manly man, but, you know, you're just a little 97-pound weakling." And so the dejected kid goes home and he reads the Charles Atlas cartoon and he sends off for his package. And, you know, then it says a short time later, he's this muscle-bound Hulk, and he goes back to the beach and he sees that guy and he punches him in the nose. And his girlfriend says, "You're such a manly man. And why would you be a 97-pound weakling when you can be Charles Atlas?" And let me tell you, this guy was like Atlas with the muscles and the strength and the chest and all the, you know, really, his name was Angelo Siciliano. He was an Italian boy. And that's the truth. His Italian boy, Angelo Siciliano. But when he started this workout thing, he changed his name to Charles Atlas and developed this method of making plenty, plenty money from little skinny kids like me. Charles Atlas dominated the scene for muscle men, power men. He was named the world's, you know, like the best developed man and all that kind of stuff. But then you know what happened. He got old. And even the pictures of him in his older age, he was still very well, I mean, strong looking. But, you know, he got old. He got sick. Developed diabetes. Developed a heart problem. Finally died back in the early 1970s. But he lived a long time. The point is this, however. No matter how strong you are,
Amen.
You're not strong enough.
No.
not just in your own physical might. If you're going to live victoriously in this world as a Christian, we need God's strength. If you're going to overcome through the trials and troubles and tribulations of life, we need God's strength. We need His help. We need Him to sustain us. Because everybody else, look, they shall utterly fall. His point is, all will come to the end of their own strength. One day they'll come to the own strength, end of their own strength, because our strength has its limitations. But they that wait upon the Lord, verse 31 of chapter 40, shall renew their strength. Your strength gets refreshed. They shall renew their strength. It gets new all over again, just like the manna was new every morning. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. This verse, chapter 40 and verse 31, is also one of the more encouraging verses in all the Bible. I think we often misunderstand it as to think, well, if we wait upon the Lord, that means we just sit idly by and twiddle our thumbs and wait for God to do something in our lives. But actually, the whole idea in this passage is that when you wait upon the Lord, you're trusting in Him. You're actively trusting in Him to do what He promised. It's to believe that what He said He would do, He would do. It also means that you have wrapped yourself in prayer.
Amen.
And we're talking here about a persistent and abiding prayer. And in this attitude of dependence on God and persistent prayer, you abandon all self-confidence and you put all of your trust in the Lord. And in trusting the Lord, if you really trust the Lord, trust always means obeying the Lord.
Amen.
It's one thing to say you believe Him, but you prove your belief by your obedience.
Right.
That's how belief is made practical. Because belief is more than just mentally agreeing to something. If you believe it, then you'll act like it. And it also includes us serving the Lord, you know, just with our lives, with our hearts. The Bible says that the angels of God, they're His servants. They serve Him. They love Him. They worship Him. They trust Him. They serve Him. And the idea of waiting on God just being idle complacency, that's not it at all. You wait on the Lord. You trust Him. You trust Him and you pray and you believe and you obey and you serve and you keep trusting and believing and praying and serving. And you keep trusting and believing and praying and serving. And even when the circumstances don't change, you keep praying, believing, trusting, serving. You're waiting on the Lord. You're waiting on this breakthrough. You're waiting on this answer to prayer as you trust and believe and pray and serve. And He says, as you do, He will see to it that your strength is renewed. You get new strength every day. You become strong again, you know. Mount up with wings as eagles. He says in verse 31, mount up with wings as eagles. Eagles look like they soar above all their problems. They just fly away. They soar above all the circumstances. I do have one other passage I want us to look at today, and I think that it will encourage you as well. It's a promise of divine strength. Deuteronomy chapter 33. I'd like you to turn over here with me, if you would. Y'all awake, right? All right. Hang with me just a little bit longer. Deuteronomy 33. This is among the last words of Moses as he speaks to the people of Israel as they are preparing to enter the land of promise. He says in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25, he says, "Your shoes shall be iron and brass, and as the days, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Now, this is an interesting passage. I want us to think about it for a minute. Your shoes will be iron and brass. Now, there's been some question and discussion as to what that might mean. There's a passage over in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 9 that indicates what it probably refers to, because God says the land that you're going to inhabit, you're not going to have any scarceness there. You'll not lack anything. The land that you're going to inhabit, the stones are iron, and out of the hills you'll be able to dig for brass. King James brass, it means literally copper, but it's probably that. Your shoes you'll be walking upon iron and brass. That is, the hills, it's going to be rich in mineral wealth, and that's probably what that refers to, although you could say, well, iron shoes, brass shoes, it kind of speaks of maybe conquest and strength and power, so maybe it carries that connotation too. I'm going to give you strength and power to take the land. But it's the latter part of the verse that we want to focus on. Of verse 25, he says, "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." It too is a promise of daily strength for whatever you face. It's, again, like the manna. Every day there's a fresh supply. Whatever your need, whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance, you don't have to depend on yesterday's grace, just like Israel didn't have to depend on yesterday's manna. There was manna new each day. Well, there's grace for today and strength for today for whatever you're facing today. Amen. It's too easy for us to just be overwhelmed by our circumstances, to see only what's immediately in front of us. But as thy days, so shall thy strength be. God gives you the strength you need for each day. And this, I believe, becomes increasingly comforting the older we get. Because the older you get, the more you recognize your frailties, your weakness, your mortality.
Right.
And this promise of strength, I don't see where I valued it as much when I was young. The promise of strength. I'm strong.
That's right.
I'm healthy. I'm vigorous. I got all the energy I need. You know, we tend to be kind of self-sufficient. And when you're self-sufficient, you don't see your need for divine strength. Or you don't, at least you don't see it as much. But there is time. Time takes place. You get a little older, have a little bit more experience. You know, promises like Philippians 4:19, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." When you're young, your emphasis is more on "I can do all things." As you get older, you realize it's through Christ who strengthens me. It's not so much "I can do all things." It's not "I" at all. It's "Oh Lord, I need your strength. And I'm depending on your grace to get me through." But that comes with time and experience and age. You know, in the daytime, you can't really see the beautiful stars that shine in the night, and you can't see the panorama of the stars. It takes a dark night to see that. It takes a dark night to appreciate all that's there. Well, I believe that it's only when we see our weakness that we can fully grasp the beauty of this promise. That as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And to each and every one of us, I mean, this promise is to us all. When you're young, you need God's strength. You need to be able to recognize your own limitations. You need strength. Strength in particular to overcome the temptations of life that try to pull you aside from the journey you have embarked upon. You have embarked upon a journey to serve the Lord, to live for the Lord, to be a godly man or godly woman, and temptation assaults you at every side. And when you're young, it seems like those temptations, those kinds of temptations, are very strong, whether it's various lusts or self-indulgences, you know, gratifying the flesh and so forth. Those things pull hard and pull strong. And the strength that we need to overcome, God will supply.
Amen.
As your days, so shall your strength be. Whatever valley you find yourself in, whatever trial or trouble, whatever temptation is pulling at you, whatever it is the devil's trying to stick in front of your eyes or put in your mind, God will give you the strength to overcome that. Here's the promise. And for those who have been going through trial, maybe you've just been holding on, but you know, we don't have to hold on merely in our own tenacity. We can depend on the Lord to give us this strength to be victorious. It's a strength that enables us to endure through the trial, however long it may be. And it seems like no matter how old you get, there are other temptations that want to pull at us. You know, the temptation to anger, the temptation to use that mouth in a way that you should never use your mouth, especially not towards people that you love and people that love you. The temptation to just get all riled up at something going on in the world. Like maybe you look at the news and you can let the news get you riled up. And you'll be railing against the politicians and you can't let that get to you. God will give you the strength to say, boy, I'm glad I am not a part of this world. Whew. I'm glad my citizenship is in heaven. And you know, as we age, this is still a promise of divine strength and divine help in all of our trials, that we will not weaken or waver. You know, the one who wrote this, by the way, was Moses, right? Moses wrote these promises, Deuteronomy, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know how old Moses was? 120 years old.
Wow.
Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. Can I read this to you?
Yeah.
All right, good. I was going to read it anyway. It's just the next chapter. Deuteronomy 34, 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, old and decrepit and withered and shriveled. Is that what it says? What does it say? His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He was still strong, still vigorous. 120 years old, went to be with the Lord. That's the way to go. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Hey, let's believe God for his strength. I know Joshua, who was his successor, he took him at his word. He took Moses at his word. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Because you read over in the book of Joshua, he said, look, I'm 85 years old. Joshua 14, listen to this. Verse 10. I am this day 85 years old, and I am as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Oh, Joshua, everybody else is trembling. Oh, they got giants over there. Joshua said, that's my mountain. It was promised to me. I'm 85 years old, and I'm as strong today as I was then, and I'm ready to go take that mountain.
Amen.
Strength to battle the giants.
Thank you, Lord.
And look, we need this strength. We need it physically.
Right. Yes.
We need it mentally.
Yeah.
We need it emotionally. And we need it spiritually.
Yeah.
In fact, let's not neglect spiritual strength, because how desperately we need the spiritual strength of godly convictions.
Amen.
So that we believe God, trust God, pray, obey, and serve.
Amen.
No matter what's going on in our lives.
Yeah.
He gives strength. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. As I can't think of a more important promise right now for you to write your name on. Make it yours. Lord, you promised strength, and I sure need it. Lord, you promised to sustain me. I sure need it. You promised to uphold me. I need it. You promised to help me. I need it. I'm going to write my name right there. I'm going to make it mine. And Father, that's what we do today. By your grace, we claim your strength. We claim this grace of divine help, divine sustaining. We ask, Lord, for each and every one here, for whatever the trial or circumstance or situation that they may be facing, Lord, we look to you for strength to overcome, strength to endure, and strength, Lord Jesus, to continue to trust and pray and obey and serve. Until we see the victory. And we thank you for these exceeding great and precious promises. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are going to.